Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Want, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a really fun question. Have you ever known someone who has been married four times or more? Yes, you heard me right. Married four times or more. Well, actually, I have known someone. I knew an airline captain who had been married six times. He didn't have a lot of money, but he sure seemed pretty happy. Now tell me, would you like to learn more about people who are multiple marriers? Multiple marriers. Have you ever wondered why someone would divorce and then choose to remarry even once? Can you imagine doing it yourself? Tell me, do you know what your personality type contributes to your marital history? And when was the last time you heard about a wonderful book called Ring Exchange, E-X-Change? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to be a successful multiple marrier? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about marriage. I'm also pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.6 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Where do you find a Southern belle with a very direct New York wit and laid-back California personality all rolled into one smart, very funny woman? Right here on our show today, my guest will tell her honest, humorous, heartfelt story that will inspire you to consider yourself a success despite the missteps you may have had along your own journey. My guest is a unique, intelligent woman whose self-discovery and reflection about her past choices, hasty marriage decisions, and relationship patterns resulted in writing her book. She refers to herself as a hybrid individual, since such a wide variety of people and places, including her four husbands, has influenced her positive worldwide view and her intriguing story. Raised outside a small town in western North Carolina, my guest spent adolescence through young adulthood in New York area before relocating to California. She now lives in the San Francisco Bay Area and has worked in marketing and sales support. I am pleased to welcome to the show Pamela Evans. Hi, Pam. How are you doing tonight?
Hey there. Thanks so much, January, for having me on the show. And I have to tell you, that introduction has put a big smile on my face.
Okay.
I know we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, it's put a big smile on my face, too, because, you know, I really did know an airline captain who had been married six times. He was like what I would call a compulsive marrier. How many of these kind of people have you interviewed for your book?
14. I make the 15th case study, and there are, I'm sure, a few more of us out there. We comprise about 3% of the U.S. population today, so we're in the nooks and crannies of life. And you'd be surprised, the number one state with the most multiple marriers is not your state or mine here in California or even New York. It's Arkansas. 10% of the population in Arkansas is multiple married, three times or more. So I've decided if I'm going to retire, I might get out of expensive California and head on over to the Ozarks there in Arkansas, because I'm a mountaineer by birth anyway.
Yeah, and you'd have a lot in common with 10%
sure
of the population. Could you share with us, when you were growing up, were your parents divorced? Were you exposed to people who had numerous marriages as a child?
No, actually not. I had a moderately happy childhood, although my mother passed away when I was 5 years old and left my father as a 34-year-old widower of three.
Wow.
So that was definitely a traumatic bump in my life. He remarried 2 years later, and two half-siblings came along, so we became a blended family of seven, which did have its trials and tribulations. Very interesting, though, in some research that I've done, multiple marriers tended to feel like outsiders in their family environments, and that was exactly what happened to me. My natural brother and sister, I was in the middle of those two, and they seemed to always side during conversations and games, and my younger two siblings were 8 and 9 years younger than I, so we really didn't share in any activities, and I really didn't feel there was anyone in the family that I could relate to.
Oh, that's very interesting. You were kind of the odd one out, weren't you?
Right.
Yeah. I was a widow when I was 25, and my daughter was, I had two daughters, and my oldest one at that time was three, and that's a very difficult thing. As a five-year-old, do you have memories of your mother?
I definitely do. I can remember as far back as age three, so I'm very happy to say I have wonderful memories of my mother and my father being very happy together. So, no, I am not a result of divorced parents, but I would say that, you know, growing up in the blended family that I did really, you know, had an effect on my life.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did. Now, for purposes of our interview, can you define multiple marriage for me?
Sure, sure. There's a lot of confusion about it, so I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Multiple marriers, also known as serial marriers, are persons who've been married at least three or more times in our society today. And this is not to be confused with polygamy at all. A polygamist is someone who has multiple spouses at one time, and Lord knows I couldn't have handled all of my four husbands at once. So the math may look similar on paper, but the lifestyle and values of polygamous and multiple marriers are totally different.
Okay, now you did four marriages before you were 50. How old were you when you first got married? 12, or what? How did this work out?
Well, I'm right smack in the middle of the multiple marriers I studied. Of the 14 people I studied, all of us were married between the ages of 16 and 20, and I was married at the ripe young age of 18. It's very interesting. All of these multiple marriers are now between the ages of 50 and 75 years old, which means we were on the cusp of traditional marriage, where women were marrying men who would be the breadwinners, and they were accustomed to serving their husband's needs, and also on the cusp of the modern age of marriage, where women were starting to seek higher educational levels. They were embarking upon careers, balancing family life, and expecting equality in marriage. And also at that time, it was more acceptable for people to live together. And it wasn't in 1971 when I was married.
And now it's practically the norm. You cannot believe in my age group, older people, so many people live together and they don't bother getting married because they're older and they each have their own families, and it's very common now. Okay, so who are these multiple marriers, these 14 people that you found? I want to hear about them.
Well, I've met a few in person. I'd love to meet all of them. They were, I found two flight attendants, a retired U.S. government worker, a college professor, a sculptor, a female crime expert. I mean, it just ran the gamut. And they came from different walks of life and certainly had different professions. Just ordinary, everyday people. And I think that's the one thing a lot of people don't realize. Multiple marriers live among you. You just don't know it. We're your next-door neighbor, your boss at work, your great aunt, who may not have told you about all of the marriages she's had, but we're out there, and we do wear this label. We hide it as best we can, and I can tell you the most dreaded question we ever are going to receive is the one, how many times have you been married?
I can imagine.
There's you can ask me my age, my income level, just
but
about
not,
anything that, but not that one, please.
Yeah, that's a rough one, and the other one is how much do you weigh? That's another rough one.
I'll tell you the honest answer on that one.
Okay, now what inspired you to face this matter head on and admit it openly and talking about it in a book and here with us on the show today? What inspired you to do this?
Well, I was inspired by two people, actually. A coworker I met about 5 years ago, ago in the high-tech industry. Beautiful, well-educated grandmother about my age, so obviously she'd gotten started young on her marriages. She revealed to me at work that she was married to her fifth husband and had been married to him for 17 years and was extremely happy. And she was the first person I'd ever met in any of my personal or work circles who had more spouses than I had had. So, I was afraid to tell her. I was afraid to tell her that we had that much in common. But within a couple of weeks, I asked her out for drinks, and I said, you know something, we have a lot in common. And after my second glass of wine, you say, do not whine. But I whined that evening, and I said, you know, I've got to tell you something. I have a deep, dark secret that people don't know at work about me, except you're now going to know it. I've been married and divorced four times. And we had the biggest chuckle. She said, you know what, we ought to write a book together as long as we don't get on Jerry Springer. And I said, I'm game. And when it came time to really write the book, I thought about it, and I thought this would be a great project. She said, you know, I really don't have time. I really don't want to do this. But go for it, and please use the title we came up with, Ring Exchange. And so she is the lady in the first chapter of my book. She has some funny stories to tell herself.
Oh,
and quickly, the second person was the partner with whom I've lived for 8 years. He was actually the one who said, you know, it would be helpful and healing to you to do some self-analysis here. And why don't you, you've learned some lessons. You're practicing them in our relationship. Why don't you share them with others? You're always wanting to do good for others, do good for yourself, and write this book.
So
I have a very understanding partner.
Okay, so let's just back up a little bit. You have a partner, and you are not anticipating a fifth marriage.
Well, never say never. I have the title for the next book. It's going to be I'll Take the Fifth.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, we're going to take a break now and hear about your host. And when we come back with the delightful Pam Evans, we're going to talk more about multiple marriers. We'll be right back. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. all of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. It's very exciting to have my book come out, and I hope that all of you listening will order it as an ebook. It's all about priceless personalities, people that I have enjoyed sharing. And guess what? We are talking to another priceless personality tonight, Pam Evans. Now tell me, Pam, how in the world can you, a person, nice, intelligent person like yourself, become a multiple marrier, have that label? What kind of a dilemma has this created for you in your life?
Well, I can tell you it's not easy carrying around that particular brand. I can say I've thrown the guilt out with the bathwater. I did that a long time ago. I forgave myself and my spouses. But living with the brand of being a multiple marrier is embarrassing, and it's shameful. Mm-hmm. And I know there are a lot of multiple marriers out there who are hiding in the shadows because they haven't resolved the guilt, and they're very embarrassed. So it really is something that I don't wear on my sleeve. If I were to meet the church lady, it wouldn't be the first thing I'd bring up, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I meet Larry King live, I certainly will, because I know that's the one thing he and I have in common.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Now, how did you, these 14 people that you interviewed for your book, did they volunteer? How did you find them?
This is so interesting. The first thing I did was find a fantastic copy editor by the name of Linda J. Geldens. And she and I worked together, and we put an advertisement out on reporterconnection.com.
Okay.
And most of our people came that way. She heard of a couple. I knew of a couple on my own. And we put these folks together. And, in fact, I think we've just scratched the surface of the iceberg, really. I think I'd love to find the other 3% of the U.S. population and hear what they think about multiple marriage, their perspective, and how they're dealing with it, and if they've broken the pattern.
That's pretty key. That's a big key. Well, you know, when I think of multiple marriage, I think of Mickey Rooney. I think of Elizabeth Taylor. I think of a few, very few celebrities who were such public people that we all knew about it. And we all just kind of shook our head and we couldn't believe it. But you're talking to real people who have gone through this. Now, tell us about your personality type. What type of a personality lends itself toward getting involved in the multiple marriage cycle?
Well, if you look back at my junior high school album and high school album, I am described as studious and the kindest, nicest person you'll ever want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that has actually been my drawback here, because when I became exposed to the Enneagram, I don't know, are you aware of the Enneagram study? It's a personality study. There's so many out there. At any rate, this one came about in the 1960s, and basically it says you have one of 9 personality types on a diagram, and you can have some characteristics of others. But the one number will jump right off the page for you. And there are things called the achiever, the pragmatist. I am the number 2. I am the helper.
The helper
at their very best, they're Mother Teresa's. They're overly generous, caring, sacrificing individuals. At their worst, they're possessive. They're insecure. They're emotionally needy. And I brought this number 2 personality life into each and every marriage. I didn't realize I had it. I brought it into the workplace, too. But I've been very successful there. I don't know. That was maybe a coincidence. But I think it's really critically important to take some of these personality assessments. Know who you are first before you enter into a relationship, and you can work on some of the flaws. You can fine-tune yourself to fit yourself and perhaps the right mate for you.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. You know, I know my personality trait, I don't know if it's one of the number 9, but I'm a people pleaser, and that comes from my childhood. Is that anything like being a helper?
It is. It falls right into that category.
Okay, so there you go.
So I jumped into each marriage as the subservient, submissive, role-playing wife. I mean, I felt I could get happiness returned to me if I made my spouse happy. So I acquiesced most of the time to their decisions and their demands. And each marriage, I chose a different partner. They had some different personalities, but the way I behaved was the same. I was the constant in the marriage. And that was a big aha for me when I was writing this book.
Okay. Well, now you went into these four marriages. You were the helper, the people pleaser. What was the turning point? How did you extricate yourself from four marriages that were not as good as you had hoped? How did you get out of them?
Well, people pleasers, people like myself with my childhood background, tend to have grown up without great negotiation skills. Believe it or not, I always thought I was a great communicator because I am a people pleaser and a people person, but I never learned how to communicate my needs, how to set boundaries, how to establish what I needed in my life to make me happy. So when I would be in these marriages, I would sort of suck it up. I would follow the rules, and did what I was expected to do. And when I totally got fed up, when the emotional abuse was too bad, and certainly the physical abuse in my third marriage, I left.
Okay.
So had I, again, been assertive in the beginning of a relationship, I could have called out perhaps a couple of these spouses. I think two of the marriages could have been saved. The other two were just way beyond.
Okay, now your divorce journey sounds like it was probably pretty treacherous territory to go through. I certainly don't envy you. I was a widow, and that was difficult enough. But yet, when you're a divorcee with three or four ex-husbands, did you have any women friends? I mean, wouldn't most women consider you a big threat?
Well, you know, a lot of married couples in those days really shunned me. It was very difficult. So I gravitated towards women who didn't have children, single women, and some divorced women as well. Very interesting. I don't find that to be a problem today, but it's interesting that you bring that up because it was a problem early on.
Oh, I can imagine, because I know as a young widow myself, people were very sympathetic and helpful. And my best friend was divorced, and guess what? Her life was not as easy as mine was socially, because people shunned her. They really did. And other women shunned her. It was a fact of life. Now, did you have, during these marriages, how many children are involved?
None. Absolutely none.
Well,
because I realized the longest marriage lasted 7 years, and I realized during these marriages pretty early on that they weren't healthy for me, and I did not want to bring a child into this world as a single parent. I didn't think it would be fair to the child, and it wasn't going to be fair to me, and in the back of my mind, I knew I had an easier exit strategy being childless. It's really unfortunate, but when I look back on my life today, it was obviously meant to be, because I don't think I would have been a great mother with all of the instability and insecurity around me. Today would be a fantastic time, but I think my time has passed me by.
Yeah, that. Well, you know, I applaud you and commend you for that, because when you talk to people who go through divorce and children are involved, it's always a difficult, tragic thing. And for you to realize that and not have children, I applaud you. I think that's an amazing thing to be able to admit and realize, even though you were going through such difficult, difficult times. When did you start your road to self-discovery? When did you begin to look at these four marriages and figure out what you did wrong?
You know, as a reformed multiple marrier, it's easy to talk about now, but I broke the multiple marriage pattern by mistake, by accident.
Oh, really?
The first gentleman I met after my divorce. It wasn't even finished after the fourth divorce. I would have married him in a heartbeat. He was Stanford, mm-hmm. Harvard educated. He had all of the status and everything, and he had no children. But he vowed he would never remarry. He had been married as a young student and divorced, and he said he would never marry. So that kept me away from the altar. The second person I met after that four-year relationship was a long-distance gentleman who made fun of getting married in Las Vegas. So he talked about marriage. He didn't mean it. He was a playboy. He dropped me. And then I met my partner shortly thereafter. I didn't mean to meet him so quickly, but he was unavailable. He'd been legally separated for over a year when we met, but he was emotionally bonded. He was co-parenting two children, and he was in a startup business, and he just wasn't legally or emotionally available to wed. And it was during this time in this relationship, because I couldn't get married, even though I wanted to, that I was forced to look at myself and my patterns and my behaviors. And I was also forced to become emotionally independent and to get out there and build a life for myself outside of a relationship. Because in the past, I had put 100% of myself into my marriages and relationships. That's how I defined myself.
Right. You were typically one of those women, and I'm probably one of them myself, that are happiest when you have a man in your life, and it's very difficult to step outside the box and become independent. I think a lot of that goes from our generation, and just it goes along with the whole game. It's something we all went through. It's very hard to become independent, isn't it?
It really is. And the most hurtful thing my loving partner said to me was a few years into the relationship, he said, "You know, Pam, I love you very much. I'm here for you. I'm not going away. But I can't put 100% of my time and energy into the relationship and give you the return on your investment to your satisfaction. You need to quit living vicariously through me. You need to get a life." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Just find some hobbies or interests or some things that really turn you on." And I was so hurt. He said, "I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You're the love of my life. Don't worry about that." Well, I took that constructive criticism, and I went out and I hired a life coach. Not an executive coach. I've had those in my career, but a life coach. And I sat down with this woman, and she said, "You do have this relationship in the center of everything, but you've got some gaps here. You're not doing any volunteer work. You say you like music. Why don't you get that going again? And quit canceling trips and fun activities with your gal friends and your sisters. Get out there, build yourself a life, and then you will draw him closer to you, and you'll have more to talk about, too." And that's exactly what's happened.
That is such fantastic advice. This is such a fun interview. I love talking to you. We're going to take a break now and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Pam Evans, she's going to share her website information and tell you how to get her book. We'll be right back.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? June is audiobook month, and the producers of Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook, invite you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, Another Quirky Audiobook. This is Adele Park inviting you to celebrate Audiobook Month on the funny side. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
I want everyone listening to order Yikes and Jitters, the two audiobooks that Adele Parks has produced. Put them in your car, and if you are taking a road trip this summer, I guarantee that you will laugh all the way once you listen to those two books. I'm interviewing Pam Evans, and she is the author of Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier. Pam, could you share with my listeners your website information and tell them how to get your book?
Sure. My website address is an easy one to remember. It's www.ring-exchange.com. Okay. And you can't buy wedding rings on it yet, but there are a lot of interesting resources. You know, you'll find out the upcoming speaking engagements. All the case studies are there, mine included. And I use my real name, so you'll be able to identify me. My blog posts are there. So a lot of information, and you can contact me through the web address there, through email. And I would love to hear from single people, people who are happily married, people who have just been divorced once or twice, and certainly multiple marriers. I'd love to hear from all of you as well.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and this is one of my favorite interviews. I'm enjoying this so much. What ahas did you learn about yourself on this journey that you've been on?
Well, there have been a few. I realized that I really had never taken time for myself, and I never really learned to be by myself. I have learned that it's so important to have that private time for me to re-energize and really lift my energy and be a new person, and so that has been really great for me. There are a lot of other ahas, just that there are other multiple marriers out there like me, ordinary, decent, kind, loving people who are just trying to do the right thing, but they just went into marriage very impulsively with this ideal of what a marriage ought to be and without really vetting themselves or their partners. I think one of the ahas that I found was that it's really, really important to look at your serious relationship partner in a multidimensional way. Look at him or her in different situations and circumstances. How do they treat their families? How do they treat their coworkers? How do they handle financial difficulty? How do they handle financial success? How do they handle mild health issues? How would they handle yours? And these things are really important, and it takes time. And when I would go from just a few months after getting divorced to dating again and getting married within a year or two, I really didn't have time to vet my dating partners. And I think that's really, really important.
Oh, that is such good advice. That is such good advice. You know, one of the things when I was dating before my first marriage and after I became a widow, one of my big criteria whenever I met a man is I wanted to meet his mother, and I wanted to see what his relationship was like with his mother, because that kind of told me what I needed to know. And with my second marriage, I think the biggest compliment I ever got was one of my sister-in-laws said to me, "You are just like our mother."
That's great. All right.
Yeah. And she said, "And he treats you even better than our father treated our mother." So I thought that was a good criteria. Now, Pam, let me ask you what advice you have about the dating circuit. What do you tell people when they have gone through a horrific divorce? And as you and I know, every divorce is horrific. There's not too many good divorces that I know of. What advice do you have for people going back out on the dating circuit?
You know, they always say fools rush in, and that's one thing I see with a lot of people, multiple marrier or not. People tend to rush so quickly to find another partner that they don't take time to heal and to grieve, and they don't take time to look in the rearview mirror at how they contributed to the demise of that relationship or marriage, how the spouse or partner contributed to the failure of the relationship or marriage. They just go on in, and I did a blog post called The Myth of Finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. It's not about that. It's not. I would just run on and say, well, the next partner will be better. I'll find somebody who's more well-suited for me. But I wasn't really taking care of the baggage that I was carrying going into the relationship. But again, get used to being alone. Do things alone and get right with yourself before you rush into another relationship.
And, you know, I think your advice about take the time to grieve is such important advice, because so many people do not realize that it's a traumatic life experience when a marriage ends. And it is important to grieve and to let yourself heal. Curiously, I want to ask this question. How are your relationships with your ex-husbands? Are you still friends, or how did that play out?
I don't have any communication with any of them except the last one. Once in a while on Christmas, I'll get an email. He's retired. He was 10 years older than I, and he lives on the East Coast. None of them live in my state. And since we never had children together, perhaps that wasn't the best, but I sort of cut my losses and ran away. I would say with the first and the last marriage, the ones where I should have probably gotten counseling and stayed in and worked a little harder, those were two very nice gentlemen. The other two, there were some deep-seated issues, so I really didn't have a desire to stay in touch with them.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing that. I don't mean to get too personal, but I think a lot of times people wonder what happens to the exes.
Well, mine don't. I don't have any living in Texas, but they don't live in California either. So,
let's send all the exes to Texas. That sounds good.
There you
now,
go.
Why did you decide to come clean? Was this part of your healing, or was it part of your mission to help others?
It was actually both. It's funny. A friend of mine said, Pam, why in the world would you write a book about a taboo subject like that?
Yeah.
Isn't it a sign of weakness to come out and talk about your marriage failures and your personality, you know, of traits and all these kinds of things? And I said, no. I think it's a sign of courage and bravery. If I can help myself and I can help others with the lessons I've learned, because I am a reformed multiple marrier, it's not to say that I won't get married again, or I will get married again. I certainly have the option. But going into the next marriage, if my partner and I decide to do that, and he keeps bringing it up, I'm going to be ready to do the right thing by myself and by my partner. And I can tell you, there absolutely has to be equality and balance and trust and compassion and friendship and all of those things that were characteristics that I didn't even look for in any of my spouses. I look for the external, the status, the, you know, did they have a good job? Were they good looking? Were they tall enough? And I have a lot of middle-aged girlfriends today who are on the dating circuit. They're divorced once or twice, and they're saying, gee, I met the most good-looking CEO. He's gorgeous. He has a lot of money. And I'm saying, please, you're not reading the free book I'm giving you. Please read my book. You know, it's only 186 pages long. Learn something. You're talking like a high school teenager.
Well, you know, your advice is fantastic, whether it's for someone contemplating a first marriage or a fifth marriage. I think your book has a good message, a powerful message for women and men who are out there. You know, this isn't just a woman's issue. We've got a lot of men dealing with this, too. This is a fantastic topic, and I'm so glad that you wrote this book. What's the most important? Oh, you know, we're going to take a commercial break, and then when we come back with Pam Evans, we're going to talk about what success means to her, the most important message from her book, and if she has any regrets or advice for all of us listening. We'll be right back with Pam Evans.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.com. www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Definitely read Pat's book. She is also, Pat is featured in Pat Evans' book, Ring Exchange. So she is definitely an author who has walked the walk and talked the talk. And, you know, if you get married a fifth time, I think you really ought to ask Pat and I to be bridesmaids.
All right, you're on.
Okay.
We'll do it in Arizona. How's that?
That sounds great. Now, when you look back on this whole journey that you've taken, do you have any regrets that you've opened this Pandora's box and opened yourself up to this?
No, I don't have any regrets that I've opened Pandora's box. I say bring it on. I'd like to take this very serious subject, liven it up, lighten it up, get people talking about it, because I think there is a lot of confusion about multiple marriers, who they are, what multiple marriage is, how you get that way, how you break the pattern. And I would just like to get the discussion going. And in terms of my own life, the only regret I have is that I jumped into marriage at such a tender age when I wasn't mature enough and ready. If I had just taken the time to have some life experiences, some other dating experiences, for example, if I could have traveled when I was younger or focused more on my education. I finished my education the hard way, going part-time for years while I was working full-time and in a difficult marriage. So the other regret I have is that I didn't have one big, happy, fat marriage instead of all these four little tiny ones.
Sure. And, you know, I have to admire you so much because you were the leaver. You were the one who left. That's very difficult to do, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's painful, believe it or not. And the one thing I found in my research in terms of multiple marriers, the first exit, the first divorce was very, very hard. But the second got easier. The third got easier because we understood the process. We knew it would be painful for all parties, but we knew we would survive. And we also sort of knew what to expect on the outside world. I'm going to have to get a P.O. box. I'm going to have to get a new apartment. I'm going to have to change my phone number. It makes it easier, and that's what happens with multiple marriers, because they know the process. Sometimes, not always, they don't work as well as they should in the marriage to keep it healthy and happy because they know how to do that exit strategy.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they go into the marriage with the exit strategy in the back of their mind. So it is probably easier to throw in the towel when you've been there, done that. And, you know, it's the same thing that widows go through after your husband dies. There's so many things that you have to take care of that you don't know about. And then once you have gone through that drill, the next time everything gets easier. That's just the way life is. Do you have any regrets that you did not tough it out and stay in the marriages no matter how difficult they were?
No, other than I wish marriage tips and tools and coaching had been made available to me in my first marriage. I believe if I had met that gentleman a little bit later in life, he was a professional student and I was trying to get my education, that we would be married today. In fact, I saw him and his wife on Family Feud about 6 years after our divorce in the 80s.
Wow.
And he was very happily married, and from what I understand, although we don't have contact, he's very happily married today. So, that's a regret. I would say, you know, if you're a multiple marrier, the best thing you can do and the best piece of advice I can give is accept yourself. Start practicing self-love and learn the difference between robust love and healthy love if you're out there on the dating scene. And throw that guilt over the fence, throw it out with the bathwater, and move on with your life in a positive way. And there are just so many other wonderful ways to rebrand yourself. I mean, be an excellent teacher. be an outstanding writer, be a wonderful grandmother, be an avid golfer like you are, January. Just, you know, rebrand yourself and always find a way to inject a little humor around the subject of multiple marriage if you happen to carry that label like I do, because you are going to get in those tight corners with those curiosity seekers and those tough questions. And it's always going to help when, in my case, I say, yes, I've been married more than once and less than five. That's an honest question. It's funny. I can walk away, get another cocktail, start another conversation, and whew, it's passed me by.
That's good. You know, I'm a humorist and a writer. And how did you, this writing, has writing become your passion? I suspect it might have, because you're talking about your next book already, and that tells me something.
Well, you know, I'm a full-time high-tech corporate type for now and have been for over 20 years. Writing is just a little hobby. This is my very first book. I don't consider myself a professional author, a professional writer. I feel like I'm a storyteller. I feel like I'm more of a conversationalist. I would like to continue writing if it's going to help others and if I have something that's of interest to a broad audience.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, because I know that writing just opened the doors to me. When I started, I wrote my first book when I was 50, and now that I'm approaching 70, I have my fifth book coming out. So it's kind of something that you...
It's addictive, I think. It could be.
It's like the mafia. Once they get you in, you can't get out. They keep sucking you back in, and you keep writing in more. And it's so therapeutic, don't you agree?
I think so. That's how I spent my Saturday mornings for a period of 5 or 6 months. I couldn't do it during the week. So Saturday mornings, sometimes Sunday mornings with a cup of coffee and looking at the beautiful view I have, it was just very therapeutic, very healing for me.
Oh, it is. And, you know, when I look at the contents of the book, you are a humorist, because as I read each chapter title, most of them make me laugh, such as Raise Your Hand If You're From Arkansas.
That was a fun chapter, and I came up with all of those titles, actually.
Oh, they're fantastic. Throw the Guilt Out and the Bathwater. Know Others But Know Thyself First. His and Hers. The Answer Is, and your final chapter, which I adore, is The Little White Church.
And those I found one just in case.
Just in case. Well, you're a brilliant writer and a brilliant humorist, Pamela Evans, and I hope that you will come back and visit with us again. You certainly do qualify as a priceless personality.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. I'm truly honored.
And we look forward to having you back, and we look forward to having you write more books and sharing them with us. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Pamela Evans. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. I can assure you they will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would personally love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success, and secrets for successful marriages. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra. If you think it, then you can certainly do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling, and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Pamela Evans. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Oh, it's over.